Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
The Hardline, 5 in the Fan, KFNS, 5minutefan.com. I'm TJ Moe with John Hadley, Matt Rocchio, and if our friend Bob Ramsey were here and he were calling the game last night, this is what it would have sounded like. Bang, he got it. And that is Jaden Schwartz knocking it in with 15 seconds to play. What a win for your St. Louis Blues. I enjoyed that very thoroughly, boys, very, very thoroughly indeed, because if at any point in time, and we haven't talked about this yet, John, we're going to talk to Chris Kerber, so we're going to hit a different thing here, but the Hayes save, the more I watch that, I know your theory is that Parayko picked his stick up and he was trying to pull it back and put it in again. I don't see that. I have no idea what Hayes was doing when he basically stole the third goal from the Winnipeg Jets.
He was trying to tip the puck in, and when Parayko lifted his stick and he tried to pull it back, he accidentally knocked the puck out. He was trying to tip it in.
It's a good theory, and it makes sense logically. I just don't see that when I watch it.
No, because you're not hockey efficient.
Efficient, yes.
That's 100% what happened.
Go watch the clip.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, that's what happened, though.
Go watch the clip, because when it doesn't make sense as far as when he's putting his stick on the ice and when he's not, because there are pieces of it where Parayko's not controlling it, that it's backwards. That's what I'm saying. You can't figure out, unless he's just mistakenly doing everything and scrambling. Yes, I understand the beginning when Parayko first picks it up,
but
Everything else besides that, when he has his stick on the ice and when he isn't controlled by Parayko anymore, and he's doing it all backwards. That's what I'm saying. Go watch the clip and understand what I'm saying. John's theory is probably correct, but it was so out of sync with what makes logical sense that I have trouble believing it. All right. So this is a tweet came out by Ian Rappaport this morning. And this is flooring. I cannot believe this. If you guys have ever heard of anything like this, please let me know. John, you've been around the game for a very long time. I have a lot of contacts up and around the network, certainly, and because of some of the NFL teams you've been around in the league as well. According to Ian Rappaport, sources tell him the Raiders coach John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock have sent their scouts home for the weekend. They are not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. Now, what they mean by that is not who to trust as far as their scouts. Who do you guys think we should take? What's your report on this guy and that guy? It is who's leaking information to who, right? It's not that they're not trusting them. They would just fire them if they didn't believe in their ability to actually scout and tell you what's going on with who. Gil Brandt, a longtime general manager, used to be general manager for the Cowboys, I believe, right, John?
Yes, he was.
He said, we never cleared the room, but sometimes we'd lay traps for scouts we did not trust. In 1987, we showed our board to a scout with us taking Mike Junkin, a linebacker that we did not like. 2 days later, Cowboys beat writer Jim Dent wrote a story saying we were taking Junkin, hook, line, sinker.
Yeah, and the problem is, and I know of two different organizations that dealt with this. The problem is, it's just not the scouts. It's who the scouts talk to. You know, I have a tendency to talk to Tim McKernan and you about the business more so than most employees. And it's not preferential treatment. It just happens, you know, I want input from both of you. You know, Tim doesn't own a part of the station, but he's had some relatively successful ventures, so why would I not try and get his opinion? You, I don't know why the hell I talk to you.
Neither do I.
But, you know, my point is, I'm sure there's somebody that you trust that you may have mentioned one or two things that I said, thinking there's no way it's ever going to get out. So I can tell you something thinking it's not going to get out and knowing it's not going to be you. Mm-hmm. But then you tell somebody that you trust And they tell somebody they trust. You see what I'm trying to say?
Right, and eventually somebody, it may not be the person that you didn't trust, but somebody along the way, somebody
exactly.
they trusted, lets it fall. I'm with you.
Exactly. Now, so as crazy as it sounds, I sort of understand their paranoia, but to go to that extreme.
Clear the room is nuts. It's absurd. So, look, John Gruden has not done a very good job thus far of So I think you have to play the game of public perception unless you have a 10-year contract. He has the most job security
right.
of anybody not named Bill Belichick in the NFL. And it's because they gave him so much money and such a long contract. Even, look, remember when we said, holy hell, John Lynch came off TV and got a 6-year deal? Well, he wanted job security. He's got nearly double the job security that John Lynch does because of all the money tied to it. So he doesn't have to care about public perception. That being said, this is perhaps the worst start to a tenure as far as public perception goes.
Go ahead.
Well, just widespread thought of, wow, that guy's lost his fastball. There's some incompetence here that I can remember from a guy that we know knows the game.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know there have been similar starts that are as bad, but not in regards to expectation.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know what to say to this, because if there is an issue, I don't know how to address it, because this might be as an important a draft day. You can't say draft day anymore because it's like a draft weekend. But you know what I'm saying.
It's like whenever your wife has a birthday.
Because isn't that amazing? Every woman, it's like, no, it's my birthday week.
It's my birthday year. Doesn't make sense. What about next year? That one, too.
What makes you just shut up? It's a birthday. Okay.
That's right.
It's your birthday week.
Do you want to do your own laundry?
I don't know how. Ask. I want a birthday week. No.
Well, you don't do your own laundry. That's why. Well, you do
but
now.
Anyhow, getting back to the point, this is such a huge, huge 3-plus days for Oakland. I understand the angst, but, I mean, I just don't know, especially since Gruden's not a shy guy, so some of those guys who are around, he has to have belief in. I guess maybe it doesn't matter if you're talking on the phone with him or not.
So here is my the reason I say that. Here's a few examples. And, again, this does not mean that they don't know what they're doing. I'll give you the flip side of this in a moment. But public perception, here's what you've seen. John Gruden was out of the league for 10 years, a decade, on television. And whether you're covering the game or not, if you are not actually in the game, there is potential that it passes you by. You can be in the media for 20 years, following the game, talking to coaches. Unless you are scheming and game planning, there is the potential that it will pass you by. There are some guys that may not. Joe Gibbs came back and was fairly successful for a short time. There is certainly that possibility. So you leave that out there. And here's what the public has seen. There are three notable players on the Raiders. Three. You have traded two of them. And the third one you've said, I'm not sure I really want him, Derek Carr. Okay. Khalil Mack was the defensive MVP, 3 years ago, and last year had arguably his best season ever. Amari Cooper didn't look that good, had struggled with drops. Well, it turns out the second he goes to the Cowboys, he's an animal and you can't stop him. And he was a notable guy coming out, a guy you spent a first-round pick on years ago and has had some really good seasons in the NFL. So you've traded two of them, with Derek Carr being the third, have stated less than publicly, but as publicly as you can state without actually coming out and saying, not only are we not sold on him, we don't even know if we want him this year. We may draft a quarterback, I don't know. That has been stated through the media at various times. So if you're trying to win public perception, and again, which is not a necessity with the job security that he has been given, this is not the way to do it. Now, here's the flip side of that. If you have 10 years to put something together, and you don't have 10, but he has minimally 5, I don't think the Raiders have money to dish out to him. He has the most job security of anybody, not because they gave him a 10-year contract, because the Raiders are arguably the second poorest of the owners in the NFL behind the Chargers, right? The Spanos group.
Right.
And then
Mark Davis relies on this paycheck is how he lives.
Yeah, exactly.
In essence.
Right, exactly right. So that is where the job security comes as well. Now, if you know you have that kind of job security, do you go the Cleveland Browns route that appears to be working right now? And that is, you got two first-rounders for Khalil Mack. You got a first-rounder for Amari Cooper. You will, at the very least, get a first-rounder for Derek Carr if you want to get him out. And you just put out two first-rounders. By the way, they have two first-rounders this year. Like
three.
Three first-rounders this year. I mean, they have a legitimately wide-open draft, and as we know.
And just one more, I'm sorry. Four of the top 35 overall.
That's huge. Yes. So, yeah, they sucked, and they acquired other draft picks as well. So he can build this. This is why I'm not on the train of just throw the baby out with the bathwater. This guy sucks. You are screwed for 10 years because I know you can't buy him out. I'm not there. But I'm telling you, this kind of behavior lends some credibility to the people saying this appears to be an incompetent regime.
On the surface, it's hard to debate that contention. I just
remember, Mayock came from TV too. These are two TV guys.
Yes, but that also makes them more paranoid.
That's what I'm getting at. These are two
because
guys.
Because they know they had their little sources.
Yep.
When they were in the media, so they know how it works.
Well, the reason I brought it up is to say you're dealing with two guys who have been out of the league forever. So you don't have one guy to lean on the other to say, well, but it's changed a little bit during this time. Let me fill you in here. It's two guys who probably used each other as sources half the time, going from NFL Network to ESPN.
Very well could have. Obviously, they developed a very good relationship.
Yep.
Gruden's the type of guy. He only brings trusted lieutenants along.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not going to reach too much. That I guarantee you.
And I really like Gruden. I think he's incredibly likable on television. He is one of the very best at articulating what's happening. And that's a tough thing to do for smart football guys. I try my best on this station, not that I'm a smart football guy, but just to explain the game of football is substantially harder than I think to do in any of the other sports, because there is so much happening on one single play and there's so much strategy that goes into it. And unlike hockey where you keep it rolling or basketball where you keep it rolling, you actually stop and get to replan everything every 6 to 10 seconds. So it's very, very unique in how you go about trying to articulate what's happening on the field.
There are more battles on one football play than there are in any given possession in an NBA and a hockey game combined.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And small things, right? This is just a one-off example, but it's like you could sit down. First of all, if you're ever in a room to ask Bill Belichick a question, I don't know what you're doing there. But if I had to give a journalist who was going to cover New England a question, you have to really think your questions out for Belichick so he gets you going. But if you want to ask him something interesting, ask him something such as, give me the reason why you would throw bubble screens to get 3 yards instead of having a run play. And he'll sit there and he'll break down, well, it's interesting depending on how many guys are in the box, because if the linebacker is not cheating out towards your slot receiver, then what you do is you just have to take a guy one-on-one, hope the safety doesn't catch him, maybe he's off and running, versus having 6 to 7 guys, depending on if the fullback's there, block their guy perfectly to get 4 yards before the safety comes down and gets a guy in the box. And he'll actually go through that and he'll think that's a smart question. And he can tell you every single guy and their responsibility, their technique, and why that play has to happen for them to plan to get 4 yards. Right, and so now it's a philosophy question. You don't have those much in other sports. So that's why Gruden did such a good job being able to explain that on the ESPN broadcast, but that doesn't mean that now, like we watch college every year. Oregon worked really well for about 3 years. Chip Kelly can't get a first down right now at UCLA.
Right.
You know, the game moves quick. It moves really fast. What was once a brilliant mind at Oregon, I think Delaware before that, he bounced around. It even worked in the NFL for 2 years where they went 10-6.
New Hampshire,
thank you. That sort of stuff can fizzle out. And if you're just watching it from afar, you don't necessarily have a great grasp on that. And then when you are kind of in charge of personnel dealings as well, because you're the one that hired Mike Mayock, it's a tricky spot to be, man.
And I hesitated only because I don't know that there's any difference between New Hampshire and Delaware. I mean, I think it's just pretty much the same place divided in two.
Is Delaware where Joe Flacco went to college. I think that's what I got mixed up. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Flacco went to Flacco started at Pitt and then transferred to Delaware.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, long-winded deal there, but that's right. And Tigers, check it out. I like my Mizzou guys here. We're at the Social Bar and Grill. Come hang out with us right here, Revis Barracks Road. This is Matt Rocchio's part of town. Rock, how far do you live from here? 15 minutes?
Yeah, 20.
That's pretty close.
I live in the city.
This is pretty close.
Oh, my goodness. Melissa Marr today just got all upset because I've pretty much been a North County guy my whole life.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got to check because I get the impression that this place is way out in the middle of nowhere. It's going to take me a while to get out there. More referencing the time frame than a, what do you mean the middle of nowhere? That's where I grew up. That's a terrific. Yes, it is a terrific area. But when you grow up in North County, coming out here is a haul.
This is kind of where I played football when I was growing up. I played it at Jefferson Barracks.
Okay.
And this is where we always got off to go down to JB. Because I would come down 55 from Carondelet.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
See, don't tell Hannah Yates about the Oakville Hoosierdom down here. Do not tell Hannah.
Once again, the Mr. and Mrs. Rocchio proved to be very wise because they brought him as far out as they could, almost into Illinois, for him to play football so nobody could see him.
Rocky's not wrong.
It's fair.
He's not right necessarily, but he's not wrong. Donald Trump's Russian friend points out what we pointed out a little bit earlier. We should reset on that, though. Steve Yzerman, GM of the Red Wings, number 19, announced their GM on April 19th. That is today. And what's interesting is, did he walk away from the Lightning? He had to have, right?
Well, he resigned because he wanted to get out of the day-to-day, but I would not be remotely surprised if he was waiting for this opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
You got to go home. I mean, he built at least the best regular season assembled team in years here. But there's nothing like going home.
I'm telling you. There have been very few GMs. I'll be curious to see what Cam Jansen says tonight. 5 to 6, the Cam Jansen show tonight, right, Rob?
It's a program.
Yes, sir.
5 to 6, and I'll be curious to see what Cam has to say about it. Because I know he's a big Lamoriello fan. And Lou obviously has an incredible resume. I just don't know that I've seen someone take over an organization and build such a powerhouse in a short time frame like Yzerman did. I mean,
yeah.
I mean that is still clearly man for man the best hockey team in the NHL.
Yeah, certainly regular season. It is amazing what happened to them in the playoffs. And if they played Columbus again, I would still pick Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think Vegas would favor them, too.
You picked Tampa Bay in a blowout. I picked Tampa in 7, said I thought Columbus could win. You picked Pittsburgh in a blowout. I said Pittsburgh's dynasty was over with. There's a trend here, TJ. So do when you tell me.
If the Blue Jackets played the Lightning today in another 7-game series, who are you picking?
I would pick Tampa Bay in 7 games again.
Well, there you go. So you pick them too.
It doesn't mean I pass up an opportunity to take a shot at you, does it?
Unfrozen caveman stepdad. I have to whisper this, so I need you to listen clearly.
Okay. Okay.
If I come up, can I blow a raspberry on Hadley's fupa?
Oh, boy. We really can't discuss this stuff when we're out and about in a restaurant. In the public anywhere.
Unfrozen caveman stepdad, I appreciate your thoughts, though. Now, you like it in public, just
legitimate
not.
Legitimate question. Mm.
And I think you could come ask him in person.
Well, it's just more. Yeah, you can come up and share my bang bang shrimp.
Wait a second.
855-282-8255, your thoughts are welcome. Your thoughts are welcome indeed. We're going to talk to Chris Kerber, the voice of your St. Louis Blues, who had a great call. Actually, do we have that? Do we have that call, David Salmon? He had a great call as well on KMOX last night. Chris Kerber was. We will find that, and if we cannot before the end of the segment here, we will play that when he is coming in. We're going to have him on at 3:05 here. Traveling back and forth, we didn't have him earlier this week because of all the travel. Obviously, we don't have him on travel days, and when you're playing, we don't have him on game day because he goes on with Martin Kilcoin and Frank Cusmano, and then we don't have him on travel days because they're traveling. And so, obviously, during a 7-game series, this is the only time we could pick him up. John, I wanted to ask you something, though.
What?
The... why this setup is, and is this just considered a perk of winning the division, which also doesn't make sense for the wild card, but you'll hear what I'm saying. The Blues and the Predators opened game one on the same night, and then the Preds got a two-day break. Blues played every other day this entire series. Then they got another two-day break, so they're not playing tonight. They're playing game five the same night that the Blues play game six. Is that a schedule quirk, or is that a reward for winning the division?
I suppose it could be a reward. I would think also it plays into TV. Because I can tell you this much, having been at the network myself and watching it behind the scenes, the NCAA will tell you who are the 65 teams, where they're seeded, and who they're playing. And the networks will decide when they're playing and at what time they're playing.
Interesting. Interesting. The what time makes a lot of sense. The days threw me off a little bit. And I wondered if the NHL said, if you win the division, you're going to get some extra rest here in between
games. And
it could
be. Yeah. And it could be. Or just the fact that I don't think there's any question that the two marquee series, nationally, the two marquee series Midwest to West, yeah, is, thank you, young lady, very much, are the Blues in Winnipeg and Nashville and Dallas.
Right, so you started on the same night, and that's the only time they've had to compete, and they're not competing. One game's at 2, one game's at 6
exactly,
on Saturday.
Exactly.
So that I suppose that does make sense. And obviously we don't have the playoff schedule, so I just wondered if that was something that happened in years past. I appreciate the way that hockey does it, and especially their willingness to change things. Everybody complains that, you know, I like the old playoff format better and all that. I always love when leagues are willing to try new things to potentially make it better. If it sucks, go back.
Well, and while Colorado is in the Rocky Mountain or in the Mountain time zone, still you have to split them up because you can't have two games. When it's in San Jose and when it's in Calgary, you can't have two games starting at 9 o'clock.
Right, right. You know, yeah, so. The start times make perfect sense. The days threw me off a little bit, and I'm also wondering if that even would be an advantage, because if the Blues wrap it up in 7 and the Preds wrap it up in 7, then the Blues get extra days rest before game one.
You know, one thing we have not discussed at all today is the fact that I believe it's tonight, Colorado has an opportunity
to win it.
To win
against Calgary. That's at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. Yep. To win its series tonight.
They do.
There's 60 minutes away. 60
who's
minutes
it? Ratnan? Is that his name? Ratnan. What's his name?
I don't know. I asked Rock a half hour ago for the goalie's name, and he.
Grubby?
What's his name? On McKinnon's line. It starts with an R.
Yeah, Ratnan.
Ratnan has been unbelievable.
Were you talking about Grubhauer, Grubby?
Yeah. That kid's played really, really well.
Yeah, stepped up when Varlamov had to go down. And that he's been big for the Avalanche.
Go ahead. What were you saying, TJ?
He's been big for us, man. He's been big for us. If we can just get a hot, we might just win this, baby. That's like
all rights reserved to Doug Vaughn.
Exactly. That's May. Like even if I don't feel like listening to radio in the morning, if I can get if we can get hot, we might just win this, baby. Out of Doug Vaughn, my day is made.
He's right, though.
He's 100% right.
He's totally
so right. It's one of the truth. You know what? That ranks right up there in a pantheon alongside kind of things. You're at. Yeah. Whatever it is. I think you can just turn that one around.
Well, not if you want to do it as improperly as possible, because you don't ever want to end on a
trying to make it a
preposition.
But no. I end sentences on prepositions all the time, Matt.
And I
so
walk.
John.
And I walk around with a dangling participle. So.
All right, we're going to get a break. We're going to talk to Chris Kerber in about 5 minutes here. So you guys stick around. We will talk to the man himself. We got to call. We do have that call from Chris Kerber, and it is going to be spectacular. We are at the Social Bar and Grill. This place is fantastic. Cam Jansen is going to be here giving away Blues tickets for Game 6. He will be here tonight between 5 and 6. Do not miss that.
And you have to be here to get these tickets.
Yep.
At the Social Bar and Grill out here in Reeves Barrack. Who would have known that you have an opportunity to see the Blues wrap it up tomorrow night?
Well, if you listen to our show, you'd know that opportunity. I told you there was going to be no opportunity because I told you it's going to be wrapped up after 5. I was a little off.
You heard my suggestion.
You
said 7.
No, you heard my suggestion on how. TJ, If the Blues win tomorrow night, we split. Once again, you keep trying to catch up. You can't, little boy.
Well, if we tie, it's better than losing.
Don't put so much pressure on yourself.
We're going to go to break. It's a hard line.
Nobody is around town more than 590 The Fan. And this week, we're out on the streets in the STL.
Every Monday night, check out the Cam Jansen Show from Three Kings. And on Wednesday nights, the Cam Jansen Show comes your way from the Corner Pub. Don't forget on Thursdays, it's the Charlie Tuna Schnooks Tour. This Thursday, it's a special NFL Draft Edition with Howard Balzer from the Harvester Square Schnooks from 7 until 9.
It's the radio station bringing the Lou to you. 590 The Fan.